Welcome, everybody, to the Health in the Real World podcast. We dive deep in this podcast into some of the realities of maintaining a healthy lifestyle amidst all those challenges of everyday life, right? And so we want to be able to take some things that we learn and put them into the real world application. I'm your host, Chris Janke, and today we are breaking through barriers. We're talking about how to rise beyond limits. And today we have two special guests. So let's take a look at our guests today. We have Shannon and Aaron. Welcome to both of you.
Hi.
Thank you all both for coming. I want to let each of you kind of give your introduction just as you did a minute ago. Shannon, you've been on the show before. Aaron, we're just meeting you, but I think this is a great opportunity to take what you've learned in the sports world and sort of weave it into the real world. So I'll let either one of you take it away as far as quick biography.
Go ahead, Jen.
So my name is Shannon Earle. I am a coach. I've been coaching with athletes for the last probably 4 years specifically. I just was able to work with the Fresno State swim team, which was amazing. And I think the thing that I find the most fascinating is that as these young adults who are so trained and have great skills learn just a few little small tweaks to how they're thinking, that they start to feel better in their lives, more confident. I had the captain of a team the other day say, "I just feel so much better and I haven't really done anything." But it's just like these small little adjustments of how you can change your mindset to feel better. So I love it. I love working with athletes.
That's great. That's great. Aaron, what about you?
Yeah, so I too was a Division I athlete in college, and I've been coaching athletes and teaching for 25 years. So I finally realized all of these tools that we have for mental performance training can just completely change the experience for everyone. Shannon and I often say we wish we would have known what we know now then, because we could have performed so much better and been able to manage the stress that comes along with just being an elite athlete.
Yeah, I mean, so much of sports is just, it's not only the skills, obviously the skills are important, but it's also being in the right frame of mind at that moment to be able to implement them, right? I remember, growing up, Michael Jordan was like a huge hero for me, in my teenage years. And I remember somebody saying this and it really hit me. They said, skill-wise, Michael Jordan is not much better than the rest of the league, but he seems to dominate them every single game. And it really was his ability to get inside of his head and elevate to that next level. This next question is sort of two parts. You can comment on the Michael Jordan thing I just said, and at the same time also, how would each of you weave lessons from sports into maybe a lesson as a mother or father, or a lesson as an employee or a manager or a business owner? How would you sort of make that connection? So very open question, go whatever direction you want to go with it.
Mm-hmm. I love Michael Jordan. I'll take that one. He's my favorite. He was just the master of being able to step into a character or a role. So he could use his mind to be like, okay, I think in his documentary, he said he could choose something to like focus on about his opponent that he didn't like, to kind of create that energy that he needed to just dominate. So, I mean, that's a mental skill right there, just to be able to change your perspective of a situation and the way you think about it, to experience it differently, to like increase your performance and your level. So he just was excellent at that.
Yeah. Yeah. He was incredible. So is there, he was trying to dominate them. Is there value in that in the real world? Is there value in, what did you say, Aaron? Like sort of like he became almost like a character. He stepped into a role kind of.
What we notice with athletes we work with is it's easier for them to, if maybe they're not dominant or aggressive in off of the playing field or the floor, but or the pool, but they need to be to perform at their best. It's often best to like step into a character, even an animal. We work with athletes to embody animals that have character traits that they want to enhance in themselves, because it's easier to change into like an actor. You're personifying someone else instead of like worrying about changing yourself so much. It just is like a little bit easier to get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense, how being an animal, right? Like I had a lot of coaches when I was younger, they would say, be aggressive. And mm-hmm. I don't even know if I knew what that word even meant back then. But if my coach would have said, be a tiger, I'm a tiger, right? So that's very interesting. Shannon, what about you? Any insights into this practical application that sports have on the real world? Any comments on the Michael Jordan stepping into a character?
We use the characters. What's interesting is if you ask athletes to choose an animal, the swimmers, one was a giraffe, right? She's a swimmer, but whatever the giraffe was.
Well, she's got to have that long neck so that her head's out of the water.
Right? Yeah. So it's random. You don't know what they're going to choose, but they know themselves and they know what they need to balance. But as far as taking athleticism and things that we learn in sports, which is part of why I started this company with Aaron, is I left so much when I left swimming, I left so much of myself on the table because I wasn't a swimmer anymore. But the skills that I gained as a swimmer in my dedication and my ability to think and my ability to do hard has helped me as an employee or as a mom, right? And I think that as the athletes start to kind of cross over the skill they have from their sport into their lives, which they don't know they can do, actually. It's something they have to do on purpose, that then all of a sudden they're like, wait, I have more skill than most people. Like I was talking to 26 swimmers and I'm like, do you guys realize you swim better than 90% of the nation, right? And they're like, I'm not very good. And I'm like, no, you're amazing.
You're on a college swim team. You're a
college swim team, right? But it's like we limit ourselves so quickly, like, okay, well, I'm not good. I'm not as good as Olympians, right? And it's the same thing we do with jobs. Well, I'm not as good as the CEO. I'm not as good as my mom and dad, right? And instead of just looking at what are you good at? You're here. You've made it, right? So enjoy it, but also take the skills and move it into a relationship with your boyfriend. I talk a lot about boyfriends with college swimmers, right? Like. And we have to get through that to get to being able to swim, right? So it's all interrelated. And I think the tools that Aaron and I teach help them start to show up on purpose to swimming, to relationships, to work, to school, right? It's all the same.
That makes a lot of sense. I like what you said, Shannon, about you said something like it helps you with your ability to do hard, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you're an athlete, you're always trying to up your game. And it does sort of put you as like you're always comparing yourself to someone better. I do think there's good perspective in staying, say, like, I am better than 90% of the swimmers, but I still want to get up. But the ability to do hard, I think that's great because we're going to hit these bumps and bruises throughout life. And we can call on that experience as an athlete and say, oh, I trained to do something like this. So all I have to do is, you know, it's maybe a little easier to wrap your mind around what I have to do in my real life, right? As opposed to that. Yeah.
I like the Duke women's basketball coach. She said something like, life is hard. Like, it's not easy. Yeah. You get to this level and it increases and you get to the next level and everyone's as good. And it's hard's not going away. You just have to get really good at hard, which they actually are. But they, like Shannon said, they have to, sometimes we have to connect the dots with them to be like, oh, okay, I am good at this, or I can do this, or I can figure it out.
Right.
Or to enjoy it. Like swimming is hard. Like you're in the pool by yourself going back and forth and back and forth. It's not that much fun. You're not talking to people.
In the water.
Right, great. Right. And so, like we talked about, okay, so it's hard and they're just so miserable in the pool sometimes. I'm like, so stop thinking about it. Think about next backstroker. She's like, I was just looking at the clouds and I was like looking for the birds and stuff. And now all of a sudden she's still swimming. It's still hard, but she's shifting where she is and how she's doing it. And she's enjoying it more. And that tool alone helped them at conference. Like they just got the highest they've ever gotten in their conference since being in this conference. And it was mostly because they were having fun, right? And they were keeping each other accountable of shifting their mindset, not on the time, but on we're swimming and it's fun, right? Yeah. And we forget that. I think in every sport, we get so good that it's no longer fun, but the fun's what feeds us.
Like, why did you start originally, right? Everyone started because they were interested in it, right? Yeah. That's interesting. You know, when I first started as a trainer, because of what I do, I focused on helping people get rid of their pain, right? So I'm very detailed, right? I'd be like, oh, move your shoulder here, move your hip here. I was so nitpicky. And finally, I started to change my direction a little bit. And this is one thing you said reminded me of this. I say now, I just say, listen, make it look easy. And if you can make it look easy, you've just accomplished 90% of the form technique that I'm going to show you. And then I just have one or two things to polish up. But if you make it look easy, you're having fun, you're breathing, you're smiling maybe, and relaxing, I think that does go a long way too. And even in the real world, right?
Yeah.
We, you know, like you said, hard's not going away and we have all these things to juggle, and let's make it look easy. Let's have fun, right?
And really those outcomes that they are so focused and intent about will happen naturally if they enjoy themselves while they're doing it.
That is a great segue. I think getting into that direction, because that's, I think, the reason why, you know, maybe a, you know, devil's advocate might come in and say, well, yeah, easy for you to say, you know, you want to have fun, you want to look at the clouds, but I want to win, right? So that's interesting that you said that. So what is the science or what research have you seen that shows that when you relax and loosen up a little bit, you actually perform better?
Well, I'll just, like, what I found with working with these swimmers is that they're trained. They know what to do in the pool. Like, it's not like if you're a week away from conference, you've put in your time. It's that they're so hyper-focused on the win or the time that now it's going the opposite direction. And now they're starting to sink and tank because they're afraid. And then the fear's coming in. And scientifically in neuroscience, those chemicals matter. If you're in fear and because you have this high goal, it's not going to be helpful. If you can have the high goal and be totally intent and focused on it, and it's feeding you and your energy is high, great. But that's not what's happening a lot of the time. Right? The fear and the anxiety is starting to tip them over to where now they can't perform because they're not actually in the pool. Their brain is too far away from what's actually happening. And so what I found is that I had to keep just pulling them back to here. Like, you know what to do once you hit the pool. It's all this chatter that was happening before that they got to the block and they're like, ah! You know? So I think it's really important to get a hold of that and play with it. Like you're saying, that play of whatever it's going to take to get you to be at your best to perform is what's going to work.
And become a giraffe or a zebra.
Become the giraffe. Right. Yeah. I mean, someone was a gorilla, right? Gorillas don't swim that well. It doesn't matter. Right.
We work with feel better as a gorilla. We worked with some golfers who became sloths when they would go into bunker because we needed them to like slow down.
Very interesting.
And it's so silly, but what we love is teaching athletes about their brains, because once they realize they're not like this boogeyman and they're really trying to just protect them, they're just a little overreactive, and they can control them and talk to it and really it's part of them, but not all of them. They don't have to believe everything they think. Then it's so empowering because they just realize like, wow, this is this part of me that I haven't really tapped into yet. And like you say, Michael Jordan at that level, at D1 sports, even in high school, like most of the athletes are pretty even, but what is the difference maker is those that can manage their mind.
Yeah.
And I've been playing around and thinking, because I've been in it so much with these young women, is I think there's a time for that hyper focus of here's the time that I want, and mentally working it through and going through the race or the sport and hitting the shots exactly as you want to, but it can't happen all the time, right? So it's like giving yourself a period of that time to be hyper focused on where you want to end up and how it feels to be at that level, and then let it go, get to the training and have some fun. And knowing you've already set that, Because what I see is they're just over and over trying to kind of like, I have to be thinking that I'm the best. And you're having a really bad day. You feel like crap. You were sick, right? Oh, well, this must mean I'm not going to get to my goal. No, it doesn't. Right. It doesn't mean anything, right?
It's a bad day. No big deal.
Bad day. Let it go.
Yeah. Either of you see Ted Lasso?
I love Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso is awesome. I think there was a part where one of the star players was having a little bit of a slump, and he ended up just going and playing pickup soccer just at like a little park somewhere and just trying to get the fun back. And then he came back to the game and he was at another level because he had that fun again.
Yeah. And weird and different and silly wakes up the brain and it goes, wait a minute, where are we? And it's back in the present. Like if we get into our routines too much, we just go on autopilot and we kind of lose control.
Yeah. And definitely athletes have the propensity to go too much into a routine, right? Like I've knew people who they hated going home for Christmas because they wanted to work on more shooting in the basketball court. And it gets a little bit excessive, right?
But get into this like superstitious, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And then because whatever we believe in the brain's like, yep. But it really has nothing to do with the suit.
Right. Or your dirty socks that you haven't washed all season.
Gross. Yes.
Parents will be happy for that part.
Right.
Wash the socks.
Wash the socks. It's not your socks. Yeah. We're getting close to time, but I want each of you to sort of talk specifically about two people. One, about yourself. How did you transition from being a high-level athlete to getting into what happens in the mind to high-level athletes? So that's the first person. And the second person is, what's the most inspiring story that you've been able to witness? You know, maybe from a client, maybe a family member, friend, either one of those. So those two people.
I can speak to my personal. I was a high school golfer and volleyball player. And once, I think it was my junior year, we were having a state tournament on our home course and lots of anticipation and expectation. And then I ended up like having a panic attack where I couldn't even, like I was a good golfer, but I couldn't even, I was whiffing and I was like not able to function with my body. And I finished, but later I went on to obviously play D1 volleyball in front of 10,000 people. Like we were on ESPN and like, I didn't ever feel those nerves then, but I did in that one situation in golf. And so that just made me think like, what the heck's going on? Like, how can I do this and not that? And I just sort of became a neuroscience geek trying to figure out like, what is this all about? So after lots of studying and research and I just started applying things with my athletes and my son's baseball teams. And anyways, saw great results and was like, wow, this is amazing. So we need to share this. That's kind of how I got into that.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. And what about you, Shannon? Anything?
I think for me, I made it to Arizona State. I was swimming. And I always told Aaron, I never felt like I belonged. I was just like, I don't know how I made it here, but like, someday they're going to find out, which was a storyline that I had in a lot of areas in school too, and through work. And so I think that when I left swimming, like I said, it was a dramatic end and I had a really hard time. I didn't know who I was without being a swimmer. And as I started to kind of gain my confidence as a older young adult, I think I started to realize, wow, there's so much more here. And as I started to learn the neuroscience pieces of the brain, it made so much sense to me. And I automatically went back to, if I had known this when I was a swimmer, I would have done so much better. My body was there. I was trained. I had the skill. I just couldn't get a hold of what was going on in my head. And I think even as a business owner now and in creating my own business, I come up against the same processes like that I went against swimming, and I can see the parallels. But having the ability to understand what the brain's doing has helped me stay focused. So I think then being able to move into coaching, I mean, to stand on a swim deck and coach the swimmers at Fresno State is like a dream come true. Like
that's so cool.
I was so nervous, but so just there. So
that's what I would say. That's great. That's great. Well, again, we're talking with Shannon Earle and Aaron Roos, and I want to thank both of you for being here. Give us the information about your business, about you know, who you help, how to get in touch with you, and any other resources that we might want to know about.
One up and coming program we have is for actually athletes who are ending their career, because it's often accompanied with an identity crisis or a big panic, a big emotional change in your life. So we have a program for either athletes that are aging out or have like a career ending injury, or just maybe deselected, and how we kind of walk them through, like, basically reflecting on what they've learned from it, what, you know, their skills that they've learned, how they can transfer it to life outside of sport, and just really be excited and inspired of all the possibilities instead of like scared and frozen and stuck, which happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. We have a website, slingshotperformancecoaching.com.
Say that one more time. Slingshotperformancecoaching.com.
And then my email there is shannon@slingshotperformancecoaching, and Aaron's is the same. Okay. So you can go to our website and you can contact us through there. You know, we work one-on-one with athletes. We come in and we'll work just like a workshop or do something with a sports team, or like with Fresno State, because they're close to where I was. I was able to go weekly and work with the whole team. So we're very, we can adapt and adjust what we can do for high school teams, college teams. So
nice. And it's mostly in person, or is there a virtual component as well? Mm-hmm. If somebody further away.
Yeah. We work with athletes, you know, I have one in Fullerton, so they're all over.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, I think these have been some great insights. I really do think sports in general is a really great way to kind of train yourself for life. And specifically here, talking about how your brain influences how you perform in the sports and how you come into life. So I think it's some great work that both of you are doing. And I really appreciate both of you joining me today on Health in the Real World.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.